Welcome to Soapy. I'm Rebecca Buttig. Thank you for joining us.
I'm Greg Rickhart.
And I cut him off.
She did. That's okay.
That's okay.
We have a really, really exciting guest today. She's one of my favorite people.
Just like me.
Nice try.
She's one of my favorite people.
Yeah?
We have both worked with her.
Yes, you've known her longer than I have.
Yeah, I have, actually. I have. You worked with her at Young and the Restless.
Correct.
I worked with her at All My Children. Have you guessed who it is?
And she had a stint on General Hospital in between those two jobs.
Right.
And what's really spectacular and fascinating about our guest, and I'm really excited to talk to her about this, is that she has recently...
She's gone from acting... He's trying to set me up. She's gone from acting to directing, which is kind of a big deal, I think, in our world. And I'm really proud of her. I can't wait to talk to her about it.
Yeah, we're going to have a great conversation, and we can't wait for you to see our guest.
Elizabeth Hendrickson, everyone. Everybody, welcome back to Soapy. We have our amazing guest, Elizabeth Hendrickson.
Gosh, guys.
Or as Lizzie. I used to call her, Little Lizzie. But she's not Little Lizzie anymore. She's a full-grown woman. When I met you, you were like, itty-bitty.
I mean, I guess I'm still short.
You're still itty-bitty.
I'm still itty-bitty.
But you were very young.
But I was very young.
You know what? I read somewhere when I was doing research on you, which I felt kind of weird because I'm like, I feel like, because I've known you for so long.
I'm like, I think I know what we're in
for. I know, but did you audition for Guiding Light for the same part I did?
I did.
For Michelle Bauer?
That was my first.
Because I feel like you're so much younger than me.
And I felt that going into it. It did not make any sense at all. And okay, are you ready?
Thank you.
Are you ready to talk about? No.
I was a lot older than you. No, but I am.
But
hold on.
Let me pull that back a little bit.
I thought the same thing.
I was very small and I looked very young for my age. And I had this very insecure feeling about anything that I would audition for that was close to, like, I think I was auditioning for was she 20 or something?
I don't know, like 19. It was still 19, young, and I felt old.
And
for
I
the
think
part,
I was
actually.
Like 14 or 15, and I was like, there is no way. I was like, the boys think I'm 12 years old. Like, this is never going to work. But I will say, this is really aging ourselves. Sorry. That audition came through on fax.
Yeah.
That audition came through on fax. And I remember I was on a vacation with my grandfather, who is really I owe everything to. He's the one who really got me into this business. And we had to take the ferry over to New York City. And I wore this lime green dress. And I just remember going into that. That was like really one of my first professional auditions.
Wow.
Yeah.
I put myself on tape for that audition because I lived here.
Oh, you were here?
And then I got to fly to New York to test for it.
Oh, you were here. You were in New York.
Yeah, so I tested for it in New York.
Oh.
But
well, I didn't get a call back or anything. It was like, I don't even think I knew what I was doing.
I've known you for so many years and I never knew that.
That's, yeah.
I never knew that.
I mean,
it's
at
so
one
crazy.
Point you were like, you could have like been my Michelle sister Bauer. And my mom. Like, you took care of me for many years.
Well,
I still have that yellow flower pot that you gave me.
Oh, my God.
That big yellow one.
Oh,
it was one of the
God.
Nicest. It was like, I remember getting it being like, this is the nicest thing that I own. And it was like a flower, I don't know, a vase. Sorry, it was a vase.
I like the color yellow.
It was a vase. And I still have it in.
That is so nuts.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, this is so random, but you just mentioned it. And it's something that I've grappled with, too. Looking younger than you are, which I don't look now.
I mean, it catches up with you eventually.
But it does. Evidence.
But
there is like an insecurity of going in for something that is like older and people always tell you you look younger or playing younger and you're older. Did you ever feel that?
Yes.
I felt that throughout my whole career.
My whole career. And I really I'm so, if I could go back to my younger self and if I just could have leaned into, you know, just, why did I feel so small? Like that was such a great thing to have. And I would give anything, right? To just, I don't know.
It's the wisdom of age though, because it's not just about looking too old or too young. It's like, walking into a room and I would look at I would read the call sheet and I would see all these other actors. I'd be like, well, they're in a cast.
Well, they're perfect. They're perfect.
You know what I'm saying? And you would talk yourself out of the job, which amazes me, by the way, when we have like young guests on this show, everyone today just seems so self-possessed in a way that I was not until I was well into my 30s, possibly even my 40s. But I don't want to gloss over, talk about your grandfather and how, what his influence was in you.
Oh, my poppy. So my grandfather was, he was an agent and he started, he was in New York and he represented Mel Brooks and Woody Allen. And he was an agent, I think, at William Morris, actually. And then he created he wrote the pilot for The Munsters. And then he went on. Yeah. So then he started writing and then he started directing. And he was the one who helped me get my first agent. He was the one who really supported when I said I wanted to do this. He took me to get my headshots. Wow. He took me to my first audition. He was the one that I would go to. I mean, I remember him printing that fax out and us reading the lines together on the ferry from Fire Island going to the city. And he is 110% a reason why I am here where I am today. Yeah. Like the whole full circle. He has come full circle for me. So, yeah. He's like my guy.
So. I know how close you were to him.
Yeah. He's like a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. He's the best. Lester Kolodny. That's his name.
Lester Kolodny.
Yeah. Oh, and he received an Emmy. A daytime Emmy.
Really?
Yeah.
For what?
I think he did. It was, he did a, we'll have to look it up. It was an old category.
Lester Kolodny.
Yeah. It was an old category. It was kind of like a special. It was a special. Sorry, Lester.
we'll circle back to
it. I have the picture of my house. What was it for? I should know that answer.
They're going to look it up.
Okay, wait. So you didn't get that job on Guiding Light. Mm-mm. And then what was that?
I never got any job.
What was the Road to All My Children?
Road to All My Children. Then I went to school. I went to Syracuse. And then I would
come. Did you graduate from Syracuse?
I did not. Because I would come back to New York City and I would audition secretly because they would not let you. They kind of acted like a conservatory. I went there for musical theater. And they said nothing outside of out of school and secretly had this agent thanks to Poppy. And I auditioned and I got All My Children and I just never went back to school.
Wow.
And my parents were just floored, you know. They were like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I can afford to pay my own rent now. So this is what I'm going to do.
How many years into your time at Syracuse were you?
3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I transferred school. Actually, I transferred schools is what I did. And I tried, like, I did a year at Fordham at Lincoln Center.
Oh.
But then it was really hard to do both. You know, you're learning all these scripts and I just like had a really hard time balancing both.
And back then we were working really long days.
We were like working really long days. And then I would have to write like a 6-page paper and I also changed my major and went to journalism. But I still took classes on the side. I went to NYU to the film school.
I remember but that.
It also actually feels like if the end goal was to perform, the Baja Marimba band?
The Baja Marimba band. But yeah.
That's what the Emmy was for?
Yeah, it was the Baja Marimba band. Go Lester. It was so special. But yeah.
Well, congratulations, Lester.
Lester.
And thank you for bringing.
Where's that Emmy? Who has it?
We don't know. We don't have the Emmy. I only have the picture of him receiving
it. Aw, what a bummer.
I know.
But I was going to say, makes sense that, you know, if the goal was to perform and you got a professional job performing, why would you still want to be in school at the same time?
Yeah, because my family had no faith in me. And they thought, and they were like, well, great. I mean, you got this one gig, but then what are you going to do after?
You're like, I will show you what I'll do after.
Exactly. I was very much like that. I was very much, I will show you what I will do after. And then 4 years in, I said, I'm moving to California. And they were like, well, what? I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't renew my contract.
Did you know, was that always end game for you that you wanted to be in LA?
No, not necessarily. I really wanted to be on Broadway, but I had this crazy thing in my head that if I went to LA and became famous and got myself a name, that I could go back to Broadway
as a star.
I used to have that thought too back in the
and get paid to be on Broadway.
Yes.
There was a, I did have a not that I would
so
be a.
Funny. So funny, and I regret so all of that.
I know.
No, I had that thought after when I first started, like shortly after being on Young and Restless, where I was like, the same way I would audition for television roles, where Broadway actors would come in and get those jobs because. Mm-hmm. It felt like the casting directors here had such reverence for theater performers from New York. I was like, maybe I can go to New York and book a Broadway show because I can be like, well, I have some TV cred from Los Angeles.
Right.
Never happened.
Never happened. Well, I've already...
We're all failures here in this room. Well, just saying.
It's still a dream of mine, and I want it to be my third chapter. I feel like right now I'm in my second chapter.
Yeah.
And
we're going to get to that, by the way.
I want my third chapter to be... I literally want to die tap dancing on stage. I want to do my, I don't know, 65 to 85 or 70 to 85 and be that old crazy lady who is like, how is she? My friend was like, really? You don't want to just like retire and travel the world? And I was like, he was like, you really want to do 7 shows a week? I was like, yeah.
Do what you love. You never work a day in your week. Life. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Okay. So.
Okay. He's so annoying today. We've been doing this all day. I'm going to ask her.
Go ahead.
How did it feel to get the part on All My Children and to be a pair of the first, was it the first lesbian couple?
It wasn't technically. I wish we were technically, but I want to say we were the first like super couple.
Because first couple, it was super lesbian.
Tamara, yeah. Wasn't it?
Tamara was after her.
Oh.
Tamara was after seconds. Me. Yeah, they got married.
Oh.
I didn't. And I just missed the first kiss because apparently they didn't feel safe doing it with my character. They brought in that character, Lena.
Mm-hmm. And that's right.
Yeah, because they wanted to take an outside character in case there was some backlash. And I was very, very upset about it. So when we got to kiss, I really went for it. Which is a very funny story.
Go for
it. Tell us the story.
I just remember going for the kiss and... And I mean, guys, right? This was, 24 years ago on ABC.
You and Eden Regal, who we
Eden
love.
Regal,
Eden
our Regal, friend, yes.
And...
Who was Susan Lucci's daughter. Who was Susan Erica Lucci's Kane's daughter. It was a big part.
Bianca, yeah. Or Les Bianca, as you used
Bianca,
to call her.
Les Bianca, as Greenlee used to call her, yes.
And we have this incredible platform right now at this point. And all of these fans were supporting us. I mean, the fans that were supporting us at that time, that was when we had AOL chat.
Oh, yeah.
And there were women meeting each other on this AOL chat. And that's how they were finding each other. And still to this day are married from meeting each other on that chat from being fans of All My Children.
That's amazing.
Wow. It's incredible. And so finally we get the kiss. And I just remember we go for it. And I just remember over the loudspeaker, and then be like, there's a little too much tongue.
Oh my God!
And I was like, what? And I was like, did anyone see the menage a trois scene that was coming? Because it was like coming off of Babe and what's his character? It was
Jamie?
Babe and JR? Yeah, Babe and JR. And I think that they had like a shower menage a trois like dream scene. And I was very... I don't remember that. And I was just like, we can do the menage a trois scene with the brothers in the shower. But, you know, so we had to, like, pull back on the kiss, but we really went for it. I mean,
and did you and Eden talk about it beforehand?
I think, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. For sure. But
you're like,
that
I'm
was
get my tongue in there.
Yeah. get in there.
Okay, right.
But getting that job, you know, I remember my first day was with Susan Lucci, and she hit my character with a car, and I was just laying there, and I think the line was something like, "Oh, you're that lady with the letter opener," because she like stabs someone with the letter opener. There's that storyline.
Your character did?
Yeah, no, her character, Susan
Lucci.
You
say that to her. You're the lady.
I say that to her. I'm like, "You're that," and I'm like on the ground.
Wasn't your
in
character's
the
name Frankie?
Yeah, I started as Frankie Stone.
Frankie Stone.
And then I came back as my heterosexual twin sister, Maggie.
Oh, that's right. You were playing twins.
Yeah, I was only supposed to be, when I got the job, actually, they said, this is only a 3-month contract. Mm-hmm. They find the body, you die. Like, they find the body. This is it. And then the fans wrote in and got all of these letters and, you know, in true soap opera, you know, fashion, they brought me back as Maggie Stone. And then she ended up falling in love with.
Oh.
Yeah.
So she was the bisexual sister.
She ended up being the bisexual. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So great.
Memory lane.
And did you guys have a lot of interaction together?
Well, yeah. I had a cosmetics company called Fusion, and she was a Fusion girl.
Yeah.
They did a whole show based on the Fusion girls, and we were coming up with the name of the company. And I mean, were you part of that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We did some wild stuff because I just remember when we did some like dream sequence.
We
or
did
something,
a dream
right?
sequence. Yes.
I just remember we did like
Charlie's Angels type of thing. And you were dressed like J-Lo.
Oh, gosh.
I remember that with the hat.
I had the hat. I looked ridiculous.
And I had that awful short hair, and it was, like, flipped. I mean,
oh, gosh. But we had so much fun. Amelia Heinle.
I know.
It was Eden. Alicia Minshew.
Terry Ivins. You know? Yes.
Yeah, Terry Ivins.
We had a great time. Yeah. It was like girl power.
It was.
It was a very, very good time at all my children. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really cool time.
So who got to LA first, you or you?
She went to LA first.
But you were in LA and then you came to New York.
I left the show in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you were there.
I left in 2004.
I'm thinking chronologically, like I'm thinking back to when we first met, which was, I want to say at the W Hotel in Westwood.
We still don't, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But what were we? What?
I was friends with Jonathan Bennett for 3 minutes, and I feel like that was
Jonathan Bennett was your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
was the connection. But then you ended up here, and then we sort of reconnected when you were in the backseat of her car when she and Bob drove by my
house.
I mean, really, guys, are we going to talk about how I am responsible for all of this? This pairing is thanks to
you. Can see yourself out.
We drove
out right
up,
now.
And I'm like. Greg Cart, Rebecca Bonnick from All My Children.
No, you pulled up and you were like, that house is for sale.
I know.
And then I saw it and I was like, oh, that's Greg Rickard. And then I was like, Greg, meet Becky. And she was like, oh my God, is that your house? Can I buy it? And then next thing you know, Rebecca buys the house.
Uh-huh.
And I was staying with you at the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. We lived on Sycamore.
I had broken up with a boyfriend. I broke up with this boy. For the first time ever, I was like, I'm moving in with my boyfriend. Like, I only live with friends. It lasted barely 6 months.
No.
She gave me that yellow thing for my birthday. and I remember putting it in the kitchen. And that was basically what I left with when I broke up with him.
I love how you started with, it was the most beautiful thing I have. And it just became that yellow thing in my kitchen.
It was literally the only thing I owned at that point. And I showed up at Rebecca's house.
Was it a housewarming gift that I gave you?
Yeah, no, yeah, mean, it might have been. I think it was my birthday
my God,
gift.
Oh my God, 2 seconds. I remember moving her in and moving her out.
Yeah, she gave me this beautiful, remember you gave me that great leather chair? Remember that leather
that
chair?
That was your dog's chair.
And then Nessie ended up sleeping on it.
Oh my God.
Then I like basically showed up and was like, Rebecca, I don't have a house to live in.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And she was up every morning at like 5:30 working
you
out. I was on the pullout sofa. I mean, it was not okay. I was single and going out until like 2 o'clock in the morning. And she would remember when I broke your really fancy coffee machine?
Oh, God.
I didn't know how to use it. You had to grind it, and I just like put it in. I mean, basically, then Rebecca kicked me out.
No, I didn't. It was hard to live with.
Yeah,
you know, going on
with you. I can imagine being hard to live with.
No. I'm like, yeah.
Well, I didn't have my stuff together.
Yeah, you can say
and
shit.
I can say shit. I didn't have my shit together, and you know, she would. You must have been working at the time, and she, you know, she was getting up at 5:30
sure.
in the morning.
No, there were times
I just
I would,
worked out that early.
There were times I would wake up in the middle of the night to go pee, and I'd be like, "Where is their light at 3 a.m? And I'd be like, "Oh my God, they're being robbed next door!" And it would be her on the treadmill in her garage at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
it's such an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Okay.
3:45.
Let's get back to soaps.
Okay.
Let's get back to the soaps.
So
your career.
You should really get your new coffee machine, though.
I'm oh my God.
It was so expensive. Please
don't. Sorry, please go ahead. I drink iced coffee. Okay. That I don't brew myself.
If I may, it feels like because of how easy it was for you to still be in school and get your first big job, was that time in LA the equivalent to your struggle of like, oh, now I know what it's like to hustle and to have to find a job? Or did Y&R come along pretty easily after
that? No, it didn't. But I was, I mean, I always had a little, I
got like guest spots and things like that.
Yeah, I was doing a few guest spots, and then I had a really nice year of commercials. Mm-hmm. And then I think I actually went back to All My Children for like a short little like 3 month thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do I stay in New York? Do I go back to LA? And I came to LA and I ran into my friend Julie Fulman, who ended up turning out to be one of your close friends. And we decided to get a place together. And then that kind of, I decided I was definitely going to stay and I was going to pursue it. And then, the strike happened.
Oh, 2008.
It was the strike, and we were doing that one act.
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
And we did that really great one act. And
what is Barbara, this?
We, there was a writer. Was he from All My Children?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Named Michael Cinquemani.
Oh, Michael Cinquemani. Yes. Wow. Yes. And oh, my gosh. He,
I don't know, but I think I knew him through Eden.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
perhaps
you did.
That was probably the connection.
Yeah. Yes.
And then he was like, hey, I have this one act. And he asked the two of us to be a part of it. And Barbara Bloom, who I love and who was running CBS Daytime mm-hmm. at the time, was there in the audience. And I think it was Barbara seeing us together mm-hmm. and liking you so much that she wanted you on
yeah,
one of her
shows. Called me in for general and I went to go meet her. And she said, have you ever thought about coming to Young and the Restless? And I said, you know, it's really funny. I never thought I would ever go back to soaps until I saw Y&R. And I saw the show just like randomly. And I would love to be on Young and the Restless. And it just kind of coincided with the strike. And it was really this great opportunity, right, at the same time. And I was just like, wow, this kind of like was all meant to be.
Yeah.
And that's really what kept me in LA, because I was, you know, I was able to afford to stay on my own and not, you know.
So crazy. You know when they say when you recall, the more often you recall a memory, the more vague it becomes?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have not thought about that one act, I don't think, since we did it. And I'm just so clearly picturing us on stage right now.
Yeah. Yeah. What? I'm remembering the theater. Yeah. I don't remember what it was about.
Neither do
or what
I. I was
said.
About to ask you that. But I do remember being there and yeah.
I feel like
wild.
You were sitting at a desk. Yeah.
That is so crazy because yeah. I know Michael Cinquemani too. And so it was just crazy.
This is a story about us. So then
you got to play an amazing character, Chloe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On The Young and the Restless.
It was like the best character. It was so much fun.
I can't remember how you got to General Hospital because you went there and then came back to Y&R, right?
Right.
So I can't remember
that. So then I think I was on recurring at one point, and then
Oh, no, that was after, that was when we both left. General Hospital came after we both left in 2016.
Oh, yeah, it was much later. Like,
but there was
General
a whole
Hospital,
arc of Chloe
for sure.
A
it was like 10 years yes. of being on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I actually almost went to Days. I was going to Days. And
I now remember the story.
The day that it kind of all fell apart was the day that Frank Valentini called me. And I think Billy Miller gave him my phone number, and all of a sudden Frank's calling me, and I was like, Frank, I cannot play a DA. And he wouldn't, and I had to beg to see the scenes, and he was like, we really just need someone to come in and do this. Like it was starting literally the next day, and I ended up doing it. And I remember it was like 75 pages of just court
Lawyer jargon,
which was, yeah, right?
It's hard.
And it was really hard. I remember it was probably one of the hardest weeks of my career of just, you know, learning that dialogue, yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. And I did it. I mean, I did it. I wouldn't say I did it well, but I did it.
Let me ask you this.
I did not do it well. Don't pull up any clips from that, but I did it.
Do you, and I want to talk about how you, all the time and effort you put into this second act that you're now doing, mm-hmm. but when you are in that booth and you are mm-hmm. watching the performance
yeah.
and someone has that big monologue or whatever,
yeah.
can you see, can you look at that screen and be like, uh-oh, like before it happens?
Oh yeah.
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 Cause I know, like mm-hmm. I feel it. If I'm about to lose the lines and go up on my lines, it starts 5 seconds before it actually yeah. happens.
I think that's one of my favorite things about being in the position that I'm in now, is that I just sit there holding everyone the entire time, because mm-hmm. I just know what it feels like yeah. to be in that position. Mm-hmm. And I can see it right before. I see it while they catch themselves. I see it, you know, yeah. and I just, and it also kind of brings me back to the moments of like where I should have given myself a little bit more grace, mm-hmm. you know? And I think it's such a good reminder for actors. Like, you can just so get into your head and you can so easily sabotage yourself. And I think that within the confinements of what we have to do and the time that we have, it's a real pressure cooker from every angle. It's a pressure cooker from mm-hmm. every angle. Mm-hmm. And I the one thing that I hope that people feel when I'm working with them is that, like, I've got you, I see you, and, like, never say sorry. Yeah. Like, at the end, be like, sorry, 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 sorry. Mm-hmm. Never say sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just...
Well, actors are the best directors. I'm going to take this one, though. But please tell us, like, how... And I know that you would always direct our fun Christmas videos and things like yeah. that. But where did the seed really sort of start to germinate for you that you wanted to pursue this new career?
The seed really started for me when my cousin and I wrote this web series and just did the pilot. And we raised some money and shot it by ourselves. And kind of had this moment of like this director who was doing it, but he was busy doing a commercial. And the day before, I still hadn't seen a shot. I had no idea what was going to happen. And I really, really panicked. And I ran to one of my best friends, who's a producer, who went to film school. And I was like, I don't know what's going to happen on set tomorrow. And I really feel like we need to be prepared. And I went into it being like, so I'm going to direct this. And he was like, what? We kind of ended up doing it together. I really let him take the reins because he really did know what he was doing and I didn't. But I created a clear vision within almost 24 hours of how I saw this, you know, 13 minutes were going to go. And throughout that entire process of kind of like not really knowing what I was doing and throwing everything together and getting this crew together and finding someone to do it and, you know, I came out of it. And I remember being in the back car with my parents driving somewhere. And I was like, guys, I think this is what I want to do. Like, I have never felt like this before. Like, I had like a crazy adrenaline rush from it, to the point that, like, from beginning to end, from pre to post, it's all I wanted to do. And then you get busy and you're working and you're doing this and then you're doing that. And I really thought I was going to go back to school for it. I was like, because I didn't know how to do any of it. I was like, I know I have this thing that I want to do, but I don't know legit, like, how does someone do all of this? Like, mm-hmm. how do you really do it? So I thought about going back to school, and then that didn't happen because I was like, well, how am I going to go? Like, how well, do I do all of these things? And then everything yeah. started to happen. And then it was like, I still say if COVID had happened, if I had not had a baby, that would have been my opportunity that I would have probably done some like online classes. Mm-hmm. I really still want to take an editing class, but I would have gone back to school at that point. That would have been like my 5-year hobby, you know, when everyone like did something during the pandemic.
Instead That's of making bread, I would have you done. Would have been in school.
So that was where it started. And then every year I would be lucky enough to just throw something together for the Christmas video. And then after the last three years ago, after that one, I was like, wait, why am I not using this resource and all of these incredible teachers around me? I don't need to go to school. Mm-hmm. I just have to go sit up in the booth.
Did Heather Tom was directing it at Bold and the Beautiful, and since they were across yeah. the way, did that ever like... Were you like, wait, Heather's doing it over there?
I ended up talking to her later on when I started getting serious about yeah. it. And And I knew that it was happening, but I had never seen her. We always seemed to like work on different days. Right. And I wasn't sure how often she was, but I had heard, and also from General Hospital. And she does a lot of prime time.
Kimberly McCullough.
Thank you.
Oh, right.
You're really good at this.
Yeah, well.
You heard it here, folks.
Oh, God.
And Kimberly's been really successful getting a lot of prime time. So I knew that it had been done, but I was not going into this thinking that I was going to get a job. Like, that was not it. I just wanted to use these incredible mm-hmm. teachers, and I just wanted to go and like check it out.
So did you have a meeting with Josh saying, I
had just asked, we were at the Emmys, and I went over to Vivian, one of our producers, and I was like, hey, you think I can just like sit in the booth and just like watch for a little bit? And she was like, sure. And then I went in and I was sitting back there, and then I was like, can I come back tomorrow? She was like, sure. And then I was walking down the hallway to go talk to one of my producers to ask if I could seriously shadow. And I just bumped into Josh Griffith, literally, like in front of the bathroom, like in this weird little corner. I still remember me standing there. And I wasn't even thinking to go to my executive producer. Like, I didn't even like think. And he said, what are you doing up here? Because we have three different floors, right? Mm-hmm. And actors aren't typically up in the office. And I said, oh, yeah, I was just going to go look for John Fisher. And I was going to ask, I'm kind of thinking that I want a shadow to direct. And he was like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Why are you going to talk to John? You're supposed to come talk to me. And I was
I'm the boss.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, right. Yeah. And it was just so awkward because I wasn't prepared. I had this whole conversation prepared to sit, you know, and have this very proper conversation. And I was like, all right. Oh, so also asking you. I was like, yeah. So I was just sitting in the booth the past couple of days, and I don't know, I would really like to shadow. And he was like, I think that's a great idea. And I was like, oh, okay. Really? And he was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, okay.
That's amazing.
And then I just don't think anyone really thought I was that serious, to be honest. Like, not in a negative way, but I just kept showing up, and I just kept showing up, and I kept showing up. And then they gave me someone to shadow. And then I really shadowed under Owen Renfro, who is just...
We had him on the show.
We love Owen so much.
He not the best guy ever? I am the luckiest person in the entire world that got to be my North Star.
Yeah.
Like, what an incredible director.
Human being, but also cares, is so passionate.
He's so passionate. He's like the best father. I hear his conversations. Like, if you have Owen in your corner, I just think that he's such a positive. He's just, I don't know. I'm just so lucky.
What was the biggest piece of advice he gave you that stuck?
That's a good question. Biggest piece of advice. I think, you know, but well, I go to him constantly. I'm always like, hey, Owen, hey, can I show you this? You know, I think that Owen is just so great at reminding you that, like, trust yourself and trust your instincts and, like, you got this. Mm-hmm. Like, he was very supportive in so many ways of, yes, teaching me things, but then he was also so careful in just making sure that he just wanted me to just really lean into whatever my gut was telling me. Like, cancel out the noise, cancel all of this out.
So you had your voice and your, you know, every show, you can always tell who's directing it, right? Because every show looks different from each director.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have their own style.
Yeah, they do have their own style. Yeah. And some are, I mean, listen, I was even watching him yesterday. When you sit there and you watch the people who have been doing it for 30 years, there's a clear, very clear difference. They make it look so easy.
Does it not feel easy for you yet?
It's feeling easier. There are things that even yesterday I was like, oh God, everyone's getting up to hug behind that, like something that's like.
So like, give an example for the audience that they may not understand, like, what is a challenge in a scene where you have people hugging? Is it just camera angles and things like that?
Yeah, I would say, so the biggest thing that I really needed to learn was the technical part, right? It's all technical in soaps. You're using four cameras at the same time, three to four cameras, and there's a lot of traffic, right? And when I was first trained, it was like, keep it simple. And you don't, you know, things can collide, things can, you know, but you also don't want to just have two people sitting there the entire time. Mm-hmm. And coming from the actor standpoint, I'm very, I mean, I think that that's like my most natural thing when I'm reading and when I'm designing my show is movement. And in the very beginning, it was hard for me to technically be able to do that because it was hard for me to move three cameras at the same time because you're kind of like this puppeteer and you're looking at a grid, you're looking at four screens, you're calling them, and you have people talking next to you calling the shots, and then you have producers talking to you. So, and you're trying to listen to what they're saying.
And to choreograph the actors who you're hoping are going to move on the right at the right moments.
Or say the things that you think that they're going to say, right? So there's... I realized that the one thing that also I can multitask. And once I started to get the technical part down, the more comfortable I felt in being able to see all of these things kind of play at the same time. And it's a muscle, and the same muscle that you use with acting, that muscle, right, of memorizing your lines, and it gets stronger and stronger. So now the fact that I get to do this more and more often, I feel like that muscle gets stronger, and then I'm able to be more free in my creative choices.
Right.
So I'm still learning. I am very, very new at this. I'm still learning. And I have these incredible teachers, and I sit and I watch them, and I watch how they just dance with cameras. Yeah. And it is so cool. And it's still what I just drive. You know, I watched Owen do something, and I was like, oh, that was so good. It was so simple, but so beautiful. And he really knows, you know, it's just about learning how to tell a story and how you further tell that story. So
I've never heard it described so beautifully. Like you just made it. The whole process just seemed like a dance, which was like lovely.
What it is. And I've grown this, I appreciate this genre so much more. I wish that I had done this earlier as an actor, because I feel like I would have been such a better actor for it because of it. I remember like my first week, I turned around, my first day like in the chair when I got my first set of inserts, which is exactly maybe a year now. Mm-hmm. And I remember I turned around to the whole booth and I said, I'm so sorry for all my 17 years I've ever been on the show. I was like, I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, Liz. Do you want to keep doing this genre, or do you want to branch out and direct?
Well, you know, I'm feeling very safe right now. Mm-hmm. Feeling really safe here. But the reason why I wanted to go in and learn was because I had an idea of something that I did want to do. And I was like, if I do this is the place for me to learn, you know? Right. And now I'm just feeling incredibly lucky, and I'm learning so much, and I'm really loving it that I'm going to sit pretty for a while and continue to learn, but eventually one day, yeah, why not?
Do you still want to be on camera?
I do still, yeah. I mean, yes and no.
Because sometimes I struggle with like aging on camera, you know? I don't want to have to like
get that
pressure, you know? Yeah. Sometimes, so I think like directing would be appealing for someone like me. And he's looking at me like, yes, you should not be in front of the camera.
Listen, it's a thing.
It's a thing.
This is the first time I've been in camera in a year, guys. Like, don't think that I was like, oh my God.
By the way, also like Young and Restless just posted for your 18th anniversary.
Yeah.
My favorite scene that we've ever done
together. Do you think that they just know that that's like the best scene ever? And or if you've,
You guys, if you haven't seen it, go look on the Young and Restless Instagram handle. But it is when we finally get together, New Year's Eve of 2015. Really and it's great. And I remember, you know, that is a memory that even though I remember being there. I remember being so excited when it aired to watch it. Mm-hmm. I remember the rehearsal. I remember everything about that day, but also watching it now, 11 years later, you're like, yeah, we sure looked a little different.
Yeah. I remember looking at myself, and I remember what I felt about myself at that time in my life. And I was like, why didn't I think I was cute and pretty and so talented and could do whatever I want? Like, what's that little voice inside of your actor head that's yeah. always just like, I'm not this, I'm not good enough, I'm not tall enough, I don't look the age, I don't look the part. And it's still one of my favorite scenes that I've ever done. It's really when I started to discover that I really love comedy and I love rom-coms. Yeah. And
oh, the lead up was so great. All the scenes, you having the ice cream with your mom in bed.
Oh, yeah. So it was the best.
Let's go back. Okay.
Yeah.
We do our fans write in and they ask questions. So we have a couple of fan questions for you that we have to get to. Who was your favorite co-star you've ever worked with and why was it Greg Rickard? I'm kidding. Okay. Well, I think you kind of covered this, but it was just the inspiration for why you were directing and we got to that one.
Yeah, we got to that one. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a really good one. What's your favorite Young and Restless set to work on now that you direct? And is it different from your favorite set to work on when you're acting?
Oh, that's a great question.
I added that second part.
Oh, I love that question. Well, you know, Newman Ranch, which has been
beautiful.
Our set directors are just absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And that set to me is, well, historic and beautiful, but it has three different playing areas. And there's still some areas that I haven't been able to get into yet, because when you start to learn, there are certain areas that you stay safe in when you're still learning. And then there are areas where you're like, oh, I can't wait to do back there, or I can't wait to get in that corner. Because for everyone who doesn't know, the thing is that what you're always trying to do is kind of make the day and not, you know, take too long.
Time.
And the things that take time.
If you go in the corner, you need lighting.
Lighting and the booms getting up there, you know. So visually, I really love that set. It's expansive. You can go from one room to the other. You can bring people all the way through the front door, all the way through. And it's just very grand, you know. As an actor, I probably, you know, there are so many sets that I have played. The ones that are left that I love, I think probably most of my memories are in Coffee House, mm-hmm. which I actually also love directing because I feel very comfortable in there.
Is Society still around?
And Society is still there. I shot in Society yesterday. And I was just going to throw one more out there that, they just brought back Chancellor Living Room.
Oh, that's a great set.
And Chancellor Living Room is great. But I only got to do a few scenes in there a couple weeks ago. So I hope to get back in there.
Okay, another fan question.
Yeah.
Do you miss playing Chloe regularly? And would you return full time if offered?
Well, if Greg Rickard would come back.
We're married, you know. We're kind of a package deal.
Yeah. Well, listen.
We're both very busy.
We're both very busy. I love Chloe. I love my character. Do I miss playing her? Of course I do. I think that if something brought her back that made sense, mm-hmm. that of course I would. So I hope that we do get to see Chloe on, you know, get a little glimpse of her again. But I feel like that would be like, you know, Greg being able to come back for, well, you know, like for like a holiday, for like Thanksgiving,
yeah, that's what I
or
wish.
Something
I,
like that.
I would love the opportunity.
A little reunion.
Yes. Well, whoever, whether Christian or Tracy has their next anniversary.
You heard it here. Exactly.
Heard it here. Yeah, like a little anniversary. But honestly, to do both, you just can't. Yeah. You can't. And I really love where I am right now.
I love this for you. I really love it.
I'm so like proud, like, proud mom. You said I was like a mom and aunt.
Yeah, my proud mom.
I am older than
proud
you.
Husband.
Proud gay husband. Proud mom. I'm like, I think it's so amazing. It's just so great. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks.
I have one more question, and it is so unrelated. I don't even know if they can put it in here, but I believe your first script that you got to direct, you directed Eric Braeden and Melody Thomas Scott. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. So
what was that like? Because, I mean, the man is intimidating just being around. Like,
but he's
just
so gentle.
But right? I mean, he is gentle. He's amazing, but I can imagine.
Were you intimidated?
Like.
Yeah. I mean, was I? Of course I was. I mean, I think directing any of the icons and the greats, you know, was when you're all of a sudden stepping on that side and you're telling someone where to go and what to do. I will say that there is something part of my actor self that I was able to just like stepping into this the director position role. Into my director, I'm the director role.
Yeah.
But they could not have been more gracious,
yeah.
More supportive. I mean, he hugged me at the end of it, put his, you know, my face in his hands and said how proud he was of me.
Aww.
And I cried. I was just like, the fact that it could have stopped there. The fact that I was able to get through that day alone. I mean, that first day was wild. It was absolutely, I remember, I think I actually turned around and I looked at him and I go, guys, can you believe this is what we do every effing day? Like, just like when it starts to go and it's flying, you're just like, what? It's really, you know.
The day's over and you're like, what happened?
Yeah, but just like the scenes, everything, you're like, okay, and we're going. I mean, that same feeling as like an actor too, but when you're watching it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Peter Bergman, like, I know he was on recently, like just being able to be part of that conversation with them in a different way.
Yeah. Well, and also like, I mean, just being a part of that family for 18 years, it's like going to your family and saying, hey, I'm going to try this new thing. Like, I cannot imagine how much love and support you were showered with.
I'm so lucky that I have had support from every angle, from the crew, from the actors, from CBS, from Sony.
From me and Rebecca.
From you and Rebecca.
I love you, little Elizabeth Lizzie Henderson.
A little bit, also a little bit.
I'm calling Elizabeth. Oh, yeah, there's also a little bit.
From Herbie Weaver, who's now your stage manager.
Yeah, he started a little bit.
Okay, well, come back and see us again, will you?
Oh, my gosh, it was so great, guys. Thanks. And I'm proud of you guys, too.
Thanks.
Actually, hold on. I'm really proud of you guys. No, I am, because this...
Say more.
No, because this, I remember back in the day when soaps were, not that they're not big, but back in the day when we had, when SoapNet and we were on Soap Dish, not Soap Dish, that's the movie.
That's the movie. Soap Talk. With Lisa
Soap
Rinna.
Talk. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking this a few years ago. I was like, wait, where is the podcast? So thank you for bringing the podcast, because soaps are alive and they're amazing.
You guys
are really, really good together. And
what?
I am the reason that this pairing exists.
That's right. This is all full circle. I have one last question. I swear to God, it's the last one.
Okay, sorry.
Go.
Why do you think people should be watching soaps right now?
Great question.
You know what? I'm having a hard time watching a lot of things because I just need to escape. I just want to escape. And I think that soaps are the perfect place to do that. I just want... good, lighthearted fun, things that just feel
familiar
and cozy and safe and just, and being able to leave and come back and being like, oh, caught up on that. Didn't make it every single day, but they just reminded me right in that one scene where we left off. But like, I just want to be able to sit in my living room and just feel good, you know?
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you.
Thank you so much. You guys. You can watch Elizabeth's fantastic directing on The Young and the Restless weekdays on CBS. You can stream it on Paramount Plus, and you can watch these episodes of Soapy on the CBS YouTube channel or listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you guys next time.